In his book, And When You Pray, author Ray Pritchard writes these words. As I consider my congregation, I cannot think of anything that we need more than to come into a deeper knowledge of our Lord through prayer. I have no greater burden than for my church truly to become a praying church, and for us truly to become a people of prayer. We pray in bits and pieces, spasmodically and sporadically, but my heart longs to see us become true people of prayer. It is clear to me that our real needs aren't financial. Whatever problems we have aren't related to our buildings or to our programs. And we don't have many theological problems. The real challenge before us is the challenge of prayer. To know Jesus Christ better and to bring our needs to Him in deeper and more personal and more intimate way. What I say about my church, my own church, is not unique. Almost every pastor would say the same thing. We all need to pray. We want to pray. We feel the call to pray. And we dream of a church that can truly be called a praying church. And this pastor says, amen. In light of that, it's kind of ironic, though, that many churches have canceled their prayer meetings. The midweek prayer meeting, we're told, is kind of like a dinosaur. It's a thing of the past. Well, folks, I have been the pastor, actually coming up of this church, coming up in May, I've been the pastor of this church for 29 years. And if that's not enough to drive you to prayer. But I've always said this, and I mean this with all my heart. As long as I am pastor of this church, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Because when prayer goes, the church dies. E.M. Bounds, in his book, Power Through Prayer, states what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more or novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but through men. He does not come on machinery, but men. He does not anoint plans, but men. Men of prayer. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones, in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, states, man is at his highest and greatest when he's upon his knees. He comes face to face with God. Now, with that in mind, I want you to take your Bibles, open them up to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 15. And we reach this portion this morning in our study of the Sermon on the Mount that deals specifically with prayer. Now, isn't that interesting? That we start our 100 hours of prayer in our church, we receive the Summit Ablaze prayer torch this morning. And we just come to this portion in God's Word on prayer. I didn't plan that. I believe the Holy Spirit did. And in these verses today, Jesus is teaching his disciples kingdom principles concerning prayer. And I'll tell you what, if there's anything we need, not anything I need to learn about prayer. And I think most Christians can say the same thing. We need to know about prayer, how to pray, what it is, how to really pray. Lord, teach us to pray. So let's look at these verses, and let's look, first of all, what Jesus says in verses 5 through 8 on how not to pray. how not to pray. And we began this last week, but if you look in verses 5 and 6, do not pray insincerely to men. He says here, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men, let me add in there, and heard by men. They were fakes. They were not praying, these hypocrites were not praying to be heard by God. They were praying to be heard and seen by men. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've been in some prayer meetings where, and again, I can't see a person's heart, but I really suspect that the person that is praying is not really praying to God, but praying to the people in the prayer group. Have you ever had that experience? Have you ever thought that maybe? I mean, I can kind of pick it up by the way they pray. Oh God, you know, we come to thee today. And it's like, you know, it's like, who are you praying to? Is that how you talk to God? I mean, I wonder if when they're by themselves, that's how they pray to God. It's like they're saying, look at me. Look how spiritual I am. And that's what, they almost make prayer a game. But what Jesus is saying here is when you pray, don't fake it. Don't fake it. In fact, he says, but when you pray, and again, that assumes we do pray, go into your inner room. And when you shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Now, this is talking about what we call private prayer. Some people call this closet prayer. And it's getting alone with God. And I think we all need that kind of prayer. We need to take time where we get alone with God and we pray. But I really think here, he's more speaking not of the place in which we pray, but the motive of why we pray. Because again, when you're in your closet or when you're by yourself praying, you're not trying to impress anybody. You're not trying to fake it. You're just talking to God. You're communing with God. And I'll tell you what, we need that kind of prayer. And I think he's talking about the motive. When we pray, we don't have to use big words or King James English or flowery language. We just get there and get down to business with God and talk to God. And that's what he's speaking of here. Pray to your Father. Don't pray to men. Don't pray to saints. Don't pray to angels. Don't pray to Mary. Pray to your Father. Your Father. That's who we need to talk to God in prayer. Now, again, having said this, that we are to go into our inner room when we've shut the door, pray to your Father in secret, this does not in any way prohibit corporate prayer. I want to point that out. I think you know that. Getting together and praying in a group. We have many examples of that in Scripture. Amen? In the book of Acts, the 120 were in the upper room. They were praying. On the day of Pentecost, they had come together to pray. And that's when the Holy Spirit came down. All throughout the book of Acts, and even in the New Testament, we have examples of people who came together in corporate prayer. So this is not prohibiting corporate prayer, but let's be careful when we get together and pray. It's not about impressing other people. In fact, let me just say this. Observation, some of the most beautiful prayers, again, I've ever heard have been from new believers. Because they don't know how to fake it. You know, they just get there and start talking to God. God, it's Pete. Hope you had a good day today, God. I did. You know, I need this. And would you be with me today, God? See you later. You know, and they're not trying to use any kind of flowery language. They're just talking to God. And when we pray, let's not pray insincerely to men. That's what Jesus is saying here. Secondly, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetitions. Look at verse 7. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetitions as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Meaningless repetitions. King James Version says vain repetitions. It means the babbling of words without a sincere heart. A mere recitation of a memorized prayer can be, not always is, but can be a vain repetition. And he says, don't do that like the Gentiles do. You see, the pagans, they thought that by endless repetitions of prayers or many words, they could inform their gods and they could kind of twist their arms or wear them down. If I just say this enough, God, I'm going to wear God out or a God out, and then he'll be forced to answer my prayer. Now, I've just been reading through the book of Kings, 1 Kings. I came across a great example of that in 1 Kings 18:26. Remember the prophets of Baal up on Mount Carmel with Elijah? And it says there in that verse that the prophets of Baal cried out to Baal saying, "Oh Baal, answer us. Oh Baal, answer us. Oh Baal, answer us." That was their prayer over and over and over and over again. You know how long they prayed it? A half a day. Not only did they they were dancing around and cutting themselves and doing all kinds of stuff. They thought through that repetition that somehow they were going to get Baal's attention and somehow they're going to get their prayer answered. But Jesus said, don't do that. It's not by saying a prayer over and over and over and over again that we can kind of get our prayers heard in heaven. Now, having said that, that does not mean that we should not be persistent in prayer. We can pray things over and over again. Jesus, you remember in the garden? 3 times he prayed the same prayer. Lord, take this cup. Take this cup, but your will be done. 3 times he prayed that. Paul prayed the same prayer over and over again for his thorn in the flesh. Lord, remove this thorn from me. It's not bad to be persistent in prayer. In fact, in Scripture, we're told we should be persistent in prayer. Matthew chapter 7, keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. Luke 18, men ought always to pray and not faint. And then he goes down to tell the parable about persistence in prayer. So we can be persistent in prayer. I'll tell you, folks, there are some prayers I'm going to pray till the day I die. There are some people that I'm praying for salvation for. I will pray until they get saved or until I die. I'm going to be praying for those people. There are prayers that I pray for my sons, and I'm going to pray for them until the day I die. I am going to pray, Lord, pour out your spirit upon my offspring and pour out your blessing upon my descendants. I'll pray that until the day I die for my kids. And I bet you parents, I bet you there's prayers you pray, and you're going to pray until the day you die. Amen? Amen. For your kids. And I'll be persistent. I'm going to pray and pray and pray and believe. And I'm going to be persistent in that prayer. There are prayers that we can be persistent in. And that's not, I don't think, vain repetition. But vain repetition is just praying prayers over and over and over again and think that that somehow is going to gain us favor with God, and that does not work. Isn't it interesting, though? Isn't it interesting that this admonition not to pray meaningless repetitions comes right before the Lord gives what? The Lord's Prayer. Which, unfortunately, is used by some as a vain repetition. There are those who would pray the rosary and pray this prayer over and over and over again and think somehow that this gets us favor with God. And I'll tell you what, You can pray the Our Father over and over and over and over and over again. And I'll tell you what, that is a vain repetition. That's a vain repetition. Somebody has astutely observed that there are many people that come to church on Sunday and pray the Our Father and act like orphans the rest of the week. That's vain repetition. That's what Jesus says. Don't pray like that. Now again, don't pray with vain repetitions. Don't pray insincerely to men. And then, thirdly, do not bring a grocery list to the Lord. Verse 8, so do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Again, Ray Pritchard says, commenting on it, says, since God knows us through and through, He knows our needs better than we do. When we pray, you aren't informing God of anything. He knew your need before you bowed your head. Isn't that neat? Isn't that interesting? Therefore, since God knows our need, we're not to just bring a grocery list. Here's what I need, God. And bring a grocery list to Him in prayer. Now, if you look at that and you say, well, you know, Pastor, if God knows our needs, I mean, He knows everything. He knows our needs. Why do we pray? Why do we pray? Glad you asked. Let me give you several reasons why we pray. Because we are commanded to pray. Number one, pray without ceasing. Number two, because we pray, when we pray, we express our complete dependence on God. Number three, because God has ordained, listen to this, God has ordained to use our prayers to get needy people in touch with the infinite resources of God. You believe that? Your measly little prayer, my measly little prayer can get a needy individual in contact with the infinite resources of God. God's ordained to do that. Number four, because when God answers our prayers, we're more apt to give Him the glory. If we pray, we might, you know, yeah, I prayed. And, you know, God answered. Thank you, Lord. Just like Jeff did today. You prayed. Thank you, God. We're more apt to give Him the glory. Number five, because prayer prepares us for the proper use of the answer. Interesting. If we know our need, and if we voice it to God, trusting Him for His provision, then we will make better use of the answer than if God just dropped it on us without our asking. Number six, because prayer is more than just bringing a shopping or grocery list to God. Amen? Now let's just ask you, if you were to go on a vacation with your spouse, or with somebody in your family, and every morning your spouse or that other person in your family, you got up in the morning and they came over and they handed you a grocery list of their needs. I need this, 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 this. Here. And then they didn't have anything to do with you the rest of the time. I mean, they didn't talk to you. They didn't ask how you were doing. There was no communication. Just you, they handed you a shopping list. I handed Linda, here, Linda, this is what I need for the day. And then I went off. You're on vacation. How do you think my wife would feel about that? Do you think I would be alive after that vacation? I don't think she would like that at all. And yet, do we ever do that with God? Do we ever just say, here's my needs, God? God knows our needs. Now, having said that, this does not mean that we shouldn't bring our requests to God. That doesn't mean we should be specific, I believe, in our prayers. Just like Jeff gave specific prayers that he wanted to see God do down at Breakout. We need to be specific in our prayers. But prayer is more than just requests. It's more than that. So just don't, God knows our needs anyhow. So just don't bring a shopping list to God. Well, moving on, how to pray in verses 9 through 13. Now we get into how we are to pray. And in these verses, we have listed here what is called the Lord's Prayer. This prayer is probably the best known prayer in the world. In fact, for the last 1,500 years in church history, every major catechism has included the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I'll bet you, almost everybody in this church right now knows that prayer by heart. It's a very familiar prayer. Well, let's look and see some general insights on the prayer. General insights. First of all, I think this should be called the disciples' prayer, not the Lord's Prayer. You know, Scripture, and again, I wouldn't fight over it, but and Scripture doesn't designate a title for this prayer, but it's been dubbed the Lord's Prayer. But I think the Lord's Prayer is actually found in John 17, Jesus' high priestly prayer that he prayed the night before he went to the cross. That's the Lord's Prayer. In fact, Jesus couldn't even pray this prayer because in the prayer it says, forgive us our debts or our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us, and Jesus never sinned. So he couldn't even pray this prayer. Folks, this is more the disciples' prayer. This prayer, listen, is for us. It's for us. Secondly, this is a model prayer. This is a model prayer. Verse 9 states, pray then in this way. It doesn't say, pray then this prayer. In Luke 11, and another instance where Jesus gave this prayer in an abbreviated form, the circumstances where the disciples actually came to the Lord and said, Lord, teach us to pray. Not teach us a prayer. Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. So this prayer, it was never, there's no evidence that Jesus ever meant this prayer to be used in a liturgical way. Now again, it's okay to pray the Lord's Prayer. I think maybe we should maybe pray the Lord's Prayer more in this church. But there's no indication it was given as a liturgical prayer. In fact, one commentator says we should understand it as a model prayer to guide disciples in their devotional life. This is for us, to guide us in our devotional life. And then number 3, this prayer specifically is a Christian prayer. A Christian prayer. It starts out, Our Father. Our Father. And again, I know God in one sense is the Father of everybody in the world because he is the creator of all. But in a very specific sense, he's our Father. Amen? Oh, I'll tell you, 1 John 3, verse 1 says, see how great a love the Father has for us in that he has bestowed on us that we should be called the children of God, and such we are. You're God's kid if you're a Christian. Isn't that neat? He's our Father. And so this is, I think, a prayer for us. This is a Christian prayer. Now, getting down to the contents of the prayer, and this is how I think he wants to teach us how to pray effectively. The contents of the prayer. And there's really two sections in this prayer. The first section is concerned with the glory of God in verses 9 and 10. The second section in verses 11 through 13 is concerning the needs of men. In the first section, we are talking to the Father about the Father. Did you see that? Talking to the Father about the Father. In other words, you look there in verse 9. It begins with God. It begins with God. Prayer should focus on God. Begin with God. Prayer should be theocentric or Christocentric. Our focus. It says the first words, Our Father. God in this chapter is called Father 12 times. 12 times he's referred to as Father. And folks, again, this is significant, isn't it? When it comes to prayer, this is big. Because when we go to God in prayer, we're not coming to some impersonal, uncaring, cold, distant God. We're coming to God who is our Father. Our Father. He is a caring, loving, merciful, gracious, concerned Father who loves you. And I want you to know something. God wants the best for your life. Young people, listen to me. He wants the best for your life. He really does. Because he loves you. He loves you. And so when we go in prayer, we're going to a Father that wants the best for us. And he's our Father who is in heaven. I thought about that. You know, he's above us. I mean, we got to remember who we're going to, huh? We need to reverence him. I mean, we're not going to just a buddy. Although he's personal, he is holy God. He's above us. But you know what else I thought when I thought he is in heaven? He has a heavenly perspective on everything. See, he's outside of time, so he can see everything. He knows what you're going to do this afternoon. He knows if you're asleep right now in church. He knows what tomorrow's going to be like for you. He knows what 5 years, if he's going to give you 5 years, is going to be like. He knows everything. He's outside of time, so he's at the beginning of the time and end of time at the same time. And so he sees from a heavenly perspective my life, and I don't know what's going to happen. I don't even know what's good for me. So I don't know sometimes how to pray, or I might pray something. He says, man, I can't do that. That would hurt him. That would be bad for her. So he says, no, I'll adjust that, and I'll answer it this way. You see, we go to a God who is above us, and he has a heavenly perspective. He knows what is best, so he can kind of interpret our prayers, and he's all-powerful. He's in heaven. There's no prayer request you can make of the Father that's too hard for him to answer, and no prayer too small for him to be concerned about. That's our Father. Now, what do we pray to our Father? What about? We pray to the Father about the Father. So what do we pray? First of all, pray to the Father about his name. Hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, reverenced, reverent, holy, honored be your name. We, as his people, want his name to be known every place. We want his name to be honored every place in all the earth. We want his name to be honored. We are concerned about his name. We're concerned about God's reputation. Amen. Solomon prayed, we want all peoples to know your name, Jehovah, that they may fear and worship you. That's how we come to God in prayer. Father, we want your name to be hallowed. Father, we also want to pray to you and talk to you, Father, about your kingdom. Your kingdom. Folks, there is a sense that the kingdom of God is present. The kingdom of God is at hand. Folks, he has a kingdom, and he rules in his kingdom right now. He's ruling in his kingdom right now. He has a spiritual kingdom. And I'll tell you, we want others to come to Christ and to come into that kingdom like the book of Colossians says, he has delivered us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his Son. Amen. There's a kingdom. But I think this prayer here is more concerned about the future kingdom of Christ on earth. Leon Morris says this. Listen to this. I think this is good, folks. Quote, there is a sense in which the kingdom is a present reality. But here it is the future kingdom that is in mind. The petition looks to the coming of the time when all evil will be done away and people will gladly submit to the divine sovereign. It asks for the establishment of the kingdom of God by God for us, not by us for the God. That's significant, folks. That we are praying that God would establish his kingdom, and the kingdom would be established by God for us, not by us for God. We're praying, thy kingdom come. And folks, the kingdom will come when the king comes. When Jesus comes back to earth, then the kingdom's coming. What we are praying here is for the return of the king. The return of Christ. And I think that's a good prayer, you know? Lord, I pray your name will be hallowed. I pray that your name will be reverend and holy throughout this whole earth. I want to see God's reputation big over the whole earth. And Lord, I want your son to come. I'm longing for your kingdom, Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm longing for the kingdom to come on earth. And for the knowledge of the Lord to fill this earth as the water fills the sea. For him to come and reign with a rod of iron. And for people to come up and worship and praise him on earth. I'm longing for that kingdom. And that's what this prayer is all about. Talk to the Father about his name. Talk to the Father about his kingdom. Talk to the Father about his will. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, that's what it's all about. How is God's will done in heaven? Let me tell you. It's done swiftly, perfectly, fully, and joyfully. That's how God's will is done in heaven. I mean, when God says to an angel, I want you to go over here and do this, and oh, gee, I got to go do that again. That doesn't happen in heaven. Happens sometimes on earth, doesn't happen in heaven. His will is done swiftly, perfectly, fully, and joyfully. Lord, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see what prayer is? Prayer is not about getting my will done in heaven. It's about getting heaven's will done on earth. Big? That's big. That's what prayer's about. I want my will. No. Lord, your will be done. And if I pray that and you pray that, guess what? That's where it's got to start. Right here. If I'm going to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I've got to be dedicated to what? To do God's will. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. That's what we're praying. You see, when we come to God in prayer, we've got to first focus on God. We have to focus on his name, his kingdom, his will. And then we're ready to talk to the Father about the family. See, we talk to the Father about the Father. Then we can talk to the Father about the family. Do you see it there? In verses 11 through 13. And I want you to note this. There are no singular pronouns in this prayer. They are all plural. Our Father. Us. 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 See, folks, when we pray, we must remember that we are a part of God's worldwide family of believers. We have no right to ask for ourselves anything that would harm any other member of the family. And we can come to God, and it's just not about prayer. It's just not about me. or even my family. It's about God's family. It's about our needs. Now, what do we ask? What do we talk to God about? We talk to the Father about provisions. Give us this day our daily bread. This acknowledges our complete dependence upon God. We depend upon Him for everything, for our provision. You know what? Yesterday's bread's not good enough today. We need new manna every day. And we're dependent on Him every day. And we pray for God's provision, not just for our needs, but for other needs in the family of God. I know somebody in the family, God, that has this need. Lord, give them their needs today, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread. We bring our spiritual needs, our mental needs, our emotional needs, our physical needs before you, God. You're the only one that can meet our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray to the Father about provision. Then we pray to the Father about pardon. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's our sin debts. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, those who sin against us. By the way, it's always good to keep short accounts with God. When you sin, take it to the Lord and confess it. Ask for His forgiveness. We ask Him to forgive us. Listen to this. We ask Him to forgive us as we are a channel, as we are a channel of His grace to others, and extend His grace and forgiveness to others who have hurt us. Did you get that? Lord, forgive me. And you're extending. God pours His grace and He forgives us. And you know what we do? We don't hoard it. We're not a reservoir. We're a channel. We receive His grace. Thank you, God, for forgiving my sins. I forgive that man who sinned against me. That person who hurt me. I forgive them. And I can't do it. It's your grace, God. Forgive me. And I'll pass it on to other people. That's what we pray. We pray for His provision. We pray for His pardon. And then I'll tell you what we pray for. We pray for His protection. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or from the evil one. This is big. Again, I mean, everything's big in this prayer. But you know what? Do we need protection? Everybody needs protection. We are, every person in this church, I don't care who you are, you're fighting some battle. And if you're not fighting a battle, or you're not aware of fighting a battle, my oh my, Satan will attack. And we need protection. And we need prayer. This is, guide us in the way of righteousness and deliver us from the evil one, Satan. Oh, great shepherd of the sheep, guide us and protect us. We're going to get out there today and there's going to be a battle. We need your protection. And I'm going to tell you, the battle. Do you remember when, I think it was Moses and Joshua in the Old Testament, were fighting the Amalekites? I think it was the Amalekites. And Joshua went out in battle array and they started the fight. And Moses went up on the mountaintop. And the scripture says, it's interesting, as long as Moses had his hands outstretched and he prayed to the Lord, Joshua was victorious in the valley. And his hands got heavy and he got tired and they came down. And finally, Aaron and Hur, you remember, they got Moses' arms and they propped him up and he continued to pray. And when he prayed, the victory was won. And I'm going to tell you, we can do that with other brothers and sisters in the church. I know people in this church that are going through, I mean, they are battling right now. They're struggling. And they need other brothers and sisters to pray. Because somehow, I don't understand the mystery of prayer. I don't know how it works. But somehow God can use our feeble prayer to send angels to deliver people. To break shackles of people that are bound in sin through prayer. Oh, Lord. We need your provision. We need your pardon. We need your protection. All of us, we, not just me. And when we're truly focused on God, truly concerned with his name and glory, his kingdom, his rule, his will, not ours, then we can start to intercede with power for people in the church, for brothers and sisters, and for people that are outside and don't know the Lord. Now, I'm going to have to quit, but let me just mention one other thing, and that's in verse 14 and 15, a hindrance to our prayers. Look at verse 14 and 15. This is significant. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Folks, I'm going to tell you, I think one of the, if not the greatest, hindrance to prayer is an unforgiving spirit. And again, I want you to look at that verse. It's not talking about salvation. It's not saying if I don't forgive somebody, I'm going to lose my salvation. This is not in a section on salvation. This is on a section in what? Communication and communion. And if I have unforgiveness in my heart, it breaks my communion with God. It breaks my fellowship with God. And if my fellowship and communion are broken with God because of sin in my heart, because I won't forgive someone, it affects my prayer life. If I regard iniquity in my heart, what? The Lord will not hear. So I have to ask you today, have your prayers been hindered because you have an unforgiving spirit? Confess that to the Lord. Just tell him, Lord, you know, I know you have forgiven me so much. God, I'm going to let that grace flow to someone else. I'm going to give up that hatred. I'm going to give up that grudge. I'm going to give up that unforgiving spirit. And I'm going to extend your grace. Because, Lord, I want to be in communion with you in prayer. Folks, we are in 100 hours of prayer this week. 100 hours of prayer. Out in the foyer, there is a sign up. Everybody could sign up for a half hour. I mean, if everybody signed up for a half hour, we'd have 100 hours. And some of you can sign up for a half hour a day or an hour a day or whatever. But we need to pray. Amen? Amen. So let's pray. Lord, teach us to pray. God, that's our prayer today. Lord, I know I need a just be revitalized in prayer. I need, Lord, you to touch my heart and teach me to pray. And I believe many here could say the same thing. And so, Lord, teach us to pray. Pour out a spirit of supplication upon your church. And Lord, I do pray right now too for those here. Their prayers have been being hindered because they have an unforgiving spirit. Help them to come to you right now and confess that and get back in fellowship with you. Lord, teach us to pray. Amen.